Hello and welcome to From the Rookery and outside Vicarage Road after Watford 0, Cardiff City 1. Back again after last week's defeat. And Michael, what was your stat?
We didn't lose last week, John. It was we drew against.
We drew against
Southampton. We drew against Sheffield Wednesday, and we've lost.
I just want to point out, if you look behind you, the man in the window has just picked up
an injury.
The mannequin has just picked up an injury. Some little kid just wandered past and his leg fell off. The mannequin, not the kid.
Yeah.
Just goes to show the injury problems we get at this club. Sorry, carry on, Michael.
What have we got? Draw, loss. That's our third game in 6 days. And it showed, didn't it? It showed. I thought Watford came up.
In what way?
Well, I think.
That many games, you see tiredness. I didn't see tiredness in that game.
The way we started was lethargic.
Well, that's different from being tired.
But it could be from being tired. If you're tired, you're going to put in a lethargic performance. And it just felt like at the start we were... I don't know, perhaps we wanted to control the game, control the possession of the game. And, okay, we didn't give the ball away that much. But we weren't creating anything. We were allowing Cardiff to plug the gaps. We weren't finding any spaces. There wasn't a great deal of movement. Neither side really dominated the game in the first half. They had their moments. They had their moments of pressure. And the problem for me was, when we had our moments of pressure, we then didn't create any momentum from it. There was a point in the first half where we've got them pinned back a bit. We've got them pegged back. And they've made a couple of hurried clearances. Ball's come out to the centre circle, centre back's in loads of space, and we're standing around looking at the ball. And you think, we've got them pinned back, let's get it back in there. Don't have to launch it back into the mixer, but get your wide players to find space, get them the ball, get them to take the defenders on, get them worried, and none of that was happening. Just too slow and pedestrian.
So Jason's right. It felt like the performance was it rolled on from Wednesday at Sheffield Wednesday. That was a complete non-event of a performance. They had the excuse of the pitch was really, really bad on Wednesday, and you come back here, I was there at Hillsbury, you come back to Vicarage Road here, the difference is incredible. And I thought, it's good to be back home. They can play a bit of football. And Jason's right. They were lethargic. They're slow. And I think the problem is they'd rather have the ball than anything else. But that is where it often feels like. Obviously, this isn't it, but it feels like that's where the limit of their ambition is. Keep the ball, and they would rather not lose it than take a shot on. And I think let's face it. We've lost to a crap team today in a crap game of football. We've beaten ourselves, really. Cardiff are no good at all, and I think we're going to see a lot of these games now where there's going to be one bit of quality that is the difference. But Watford, their lack of cutting edge is a huge concern, and there's obviously an acute concern in terms of striking talent, in as much as we haven't got any, like literally haven't got a really what you call a championship striker. We haven't got one. But also it's the sort of ambition and the desire to ask questions of the opposition keeper. We know that Val is uber pragmatic. We know that he's looking to keep it tight, and there's a lot to be said for that. The other lot can't score if they haven't got the ball, but it hampers us so much that we're always, I said it on Wednesday night, it takes us three passes to get the ball where it should be in one. We've got these players, we talk about them a lot, but we're not seeing anything from them. Martins and Asprilla, what are they doing really for us?
We'll talk about Asprilla a little bit in terms of his two phases of his game, the one before, the one after the substitutions in there. But you're right. Is this down to, you're talking there, Mike, as if this is all down to Valerian's choice of keep possession, keep it calm, build, and maybe make something, where it's not happening against, again, rubbish teams like Cardiff, or not the clever teams like us. We're a clever team, trying to play in a certain fashion, but we're not clever enough yet.
They try to overplay it, and they're talking themselves out of being an attacking threat.
I'm going to cut in again. I think that you're talking about overplaying and sort of three passes where we need one. There was a great example of that in the second half, where Ken, I think it was, found some space. Ken, it might have been Lewis even. One of them found some space down the left-hand side. We've got a pass through between, so in that channel, We've not made it. I think we've gone inside to Kone. Kone's gone straight back to where the ball's come from. We've then made the pass, and the guy's offside.
Yeah.
And it's just, you just think, it's there. The pass is on. Why? Someone tell me why.
And I think they'll turn and go back because it's possession. Don't lose the ball.
So is it possession? Because that's what we want, or is it possession? Because actually, that's all we can do. Because there isn't the confidence. Well, there isn't the striker
be.
There.
No, I don't
do you think?
So.
But are we trying to play it through build in a way of our ability? Not necessarily in the way that we all imagine football to be.
We're better than we've got enough on the pitch to. We've got people who can score goals. I've spoken about Martins and Asprilla. Emmanuel Dennis has come on there. I mean, he's still miles off being match fit, and he looked a shadow of his former self again this afternoon, really, didn't he? Telly Bashiri can crop up with goals. Ismail Kone, although he's gone off the boil recently, he's a danger in and around the box. There is players there to be more of an attacking threat than we are, and it's.
But all those players are outside the box players, you know, whack it in from distance, Kone.
They're popping up
maybe in the last minute. They're not.
Look, Ismail's not stupid.
90 minutes of strikers, are they? Strikers.
It's not stupid. And I'm tired, so I'm not going to mince my words. He knows as well as we do that Rajovic is crap. He knows as well as we do that Bayo is crap in terms of being a striker. They're just nowhere near it.
No.
We all know that. So you've got to work on that. You've got to use what you've got. And that means getting those players that you mentioned. You're right, John. You expect where you expect their goals to be is sort of on the edge of the area. They're not going to be. They're not tapping merchants, are they? But it doesn't matter. We've got to get them. And we get enough play in the final third to be a significantly more attacking threat, to deliver a significantly more attacking threat. I think Ryan Andrews had a decent chance, didn't he? We looked okay in the first half in terms of carving out occasional openings. But they're exactly that. They're occasional openings. And I think that is the game plan. You only need two occasional openings if you score them, or three if you score one or whatever, and that works. And we have seen it work for this Watford side, but they just seem to be there's an aversion that final third and quite apart. They're probably there, aware of it more than anyone. Obviously, they're the ones out there doing it. But I've said it all season: the final ball in the final third. It's almost the final ball in, or
the final ball for the shot.
Well, either the ball in, or just all the passing around the final third, over hit, under hit. I'm afraid it's pretty pathetic, because it happens week in, week out, and we've said it. We do the hard work. You burn the fullbacks. You've got a bit of space, and woof, the ball's in the stands or over the touchline, and it's pretty feeble, really. We're wasting. We're doing the hard work, and then week in, week out, move after move, we're wasting it. And that's, if you count the Southampton game, that's one win in eight, one win in seven if you don't count the FA Cup. You've got to assume that we're going to go there with a very, very effectively an under-23 side. You'd have thought now it doesn't matter about the next round because it's Liverpool. No one wants to get hugged by Liverpool on the telly. We're absolutely knackered, so you assume we're going to go out on Tuesday against Southampton. Then we've got Leicester. So that's one win in eight, one win in nine, with Leicester, who are just demolishing everyone. We're in a rut.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Jane, look at that. Actually, in front of your mother there, Michael. She's I like her attitude towards the game. A bit more.
Yeah,
not like her son.
No, not like her son. Right. Not that I'm not disagreeing with you, Michael, in terms of how bad it is and where the problems are. But I suppose that when you look at what's next, and I don't mean next as in Southampton, I mean next in terms of the development of this team, not even against Leicester. So there's three changes that came on. Rajovic, we know, is not up to scratch, and he replaced something that's not up to scratch. On comes Ken.
Yeah.
On comes Dennis.
Yeah.
Yasser moves into the middle. I think, Jason, that showed a lot difference in terms of an oomph, let's say, in terms of our attack, putting Yasser into that number 10 role, even though I don't really know what that means, but you know me.
Yeah, I mean, it's because in theory you look at the sort of that 4-3-3 to a 4-2-3-1, you're effectively saying, well, you're putting more attacking players in positions on the pitch. And I think it did make a difference for Espria because he was hardly in the game where he started.
He was
in the
first half, go off.
I thought he was going to go off. Yeah. I was surprised he stayed on the pitch, but then wasn't surprised when you saw him move to the middle. Because in that first half, there was a point where ball's heading his way and he just stood still and let his marker run past him and win the ball. I say win the ball, we didn't have to win it, he just collected it because the three was nowhere near him. And it was that sort of game for him today, just not in it at all, really. Moving to the middle, and he seemed to be a lot more involved and all of a sudden a lot more mobile as well. He was sort of all over the pitch trying to pick the ball up and then sort of carry it and looking for give and goes sort of all over the pitch. Just sort of woke him up almost as if it was, oh, I thought I was probably going to get taken off, I haven't. Perhaps I better do something. Here's my chance to show you something. You assume it's not the case, but it just felt like that.
And it
freed him up, I don't know, but it did transform him. But again, it comes down to, why are we not doing this? Why is he not doing this from the start of the game?
Yeah, and that's where I really think about this, Michael. You know, those front three, let's say, well, we were better when they came on. One of them we don't think will be necessarily better with Rajovic. Dennis, still not up to scratch. What had an absolutely amazing Dennis moment where he could have crossed the ball, but he did not. And he didn't even hit the goal. They were near the post. He put it behind the goal.
I mean, in fairness...
No! I know what you're going to say.
Was there anyone
but it's
in there?
The worry. There was. There was somebody in there for a poke of a something or another, a foot somewhere.
It was the
we talk about green shoots every so often for good things coming. It was a green shoot for the nightmare that might be Dennis. I go on a bit, but in those front three, and going back to what we saw in the first half, King Ken coming on, him as a player is part of that attack, as part of his maturity. Because Richard, I sit next to, he puts the whole thing down to lack of experience and immaturity, which actually leads to half our problems, which is bad decisions. But Ken in a starting lineup, what do you think? What does that add to the character? What do you think that adds to the? See you later, Cardiff fans. What do you think that adds to the different mentality that we saw at the beginning of today's game?
Ken adds a lot. He barrels down that left hand side. He's awkward. He all somehow always beats his man. I think he surprises every defender he comes up against because he goes past him and the defender thinks, crikey, you weren't shaping up properly to go past me, but there you've done me. I don't really buy the immaturity thing. I think this team has played enough football in their careers really to be not making regular bad decisions. But Ken does add a lot of stability. He's more solid. You know that more often than not when he goes forward, he's probably not going to lose the ball. He is going to make an offensive move that is going to advance us and is going to help us and is going to give them something to think about as a defence. So I really do like he's dependable, but also he adds a lot to the team. He adds to the solidity. We've been very, very down on it on Watford, but certainly since the substitutions, which you're right to bring up as a key moment in the match, we had to make the changes for a whole host of reasons. And Cardiff sort of reacted by saying, right, we're shutting up shop. And we were camped in their half for pretty much the entirety of the sort of last, half an hour, really. They didn't really have much desire to do anything other than see the game out, which they did, in fairness, relatively comfortably. I mean, we ended up with 10 corners. They had two, both of which were in the first half. I'm just thinking, on another day, would we have got something out of it? And I'm not really sure we would, because the chances, probably the best chance in the game for us was the first half chance for Ryan Andrews, I guess. Mm-hmm. We perhaps had a header from one of the corners.
There was that one where I think Chuck Vitezzi headed it back across. Espria seemed to be in front of the goal with the ball at his feet, but I think depth of vision might have been a problem for me.
Yeah, and there was I couldn't see where the ball flashed across from the right. And it actually went out for a corner, but it looked sort of, Rajovic sort of didn't react at all, and it looked like he could have just stuck a foot out and got it out. But
so there were little moments that could have led to a goal and goal change games. So it's like you say, I don't think it is that far away for a team of what we are compared to a team of what Cardiff are compared to a lot of the team that we're going to be playing.
I think we are quite a long way away. And look,
from what?
from being, you know, the playoff talk was the sort of has been the
all
thing.
Right, can, ignore that.
Can we? Can, well, that,
let's definitely ignore that after today.
But in terms of sort of some sort of benchmark, are we anywhere near being a team that can worry the playoff pack? And you've got, you have to say no. On the basis of today, on the basis of our recent results, on the basis of the squad we've got, that's not. I completely stand by everything that I've said so far this season. I still like this team. I still like watching them, but that doesn't mean they're good. They are very, very limited. And what frustrates me is that they don't they have a chance to mitigate their limitations by just finishing off in an attacking sense. They make things worse for themselves than it needs to be. And there's a bigger picture that we sort of have to be aware of, that we've ended up with a squad that is very, very thin. And that's, why is that? Well, it's because clearly I don't think it's a lack of appetite to invest. I think the club is probably up for sale and has been for a significant amount of time. I don't think there's the money there. The Championship is not a profit-making location for a football club. So,
yeah, I mean,
we're where we're at, and I don't think we are. I don't know what we're aiming for, really. I'm enjoying it because I like the team. I'm not enjoying this run of form. I'm not enjoying us fluffing our lines in the final third. But you know, where we're at, what are we close to? I don't know what the answer to that is, because I think what we are is a mid-table, average Championship football side, and as far as I can tell, that is the sum target of the ambition. Mm. Frankly,
yeah. Well, the ambition and the aim, let's say, would of course be to be as high as possible, and of course that means, well, at this point in the season, with the three or four that are sort of pulling away a little bit, you would expect that is the playoffs. You know, talk this week in the press conferences of Valerian saying they did try for a few on deadline day in several different positions, and you want to go, well, what does try mean? Is try put an offer in that's within your means? That means, well, we tried that, they said no, and we're not going to go any further. We're going to hold where we are because we want to stay where we are financially, sort out the things we want to sort out financially. Not, we tried 10 million, so we went back with 20. You know, and you would never, that was never going to be a thing. They're never going to push the finances. But Jason, how do you feel at the end of this window in terms of what we've got and where their ambitions need to be? I think, because last week we did talk about this a little bit, but now it's actually closed. I sort of feel a bit different about it.
I try not to have feelings about transfer windows. Because, one, you can't look at the end of the transfer window and go, oh, yeah, we've done well, because you don't know how good these players are going to be. We've talked about Rajovic and his limitations. And I remember when he came off the bench and everyone was really excited because it's our new number nine!
Yeah.
And look what's happened. I'm perhaps a little concerned about the midfield, just in terms of, we know... I made the joke about the mannequin falling apart, but we know we have had injury problems, and we've had injury problems in that part of the field. We've got rid of Loser. We haven't replaced him, so one in, one out. Well, perhaps they're saying that Georgie's the one in, but we had him anyway.
Yeah.
So we're sort of a body down there, and if we get injuries there, there's a problem. We've let Healy go. Dennis isn't the Healy replacement, I don't think. And again, you think, it's not that long ago, Rajovic was injured, Bio was sent off, we'd be filling in if we had something like that again. So there are two areas there where you think...
Could
we have got something in there? Earlier on in the piece, we were probably talking about goalkeepers. Actually, I'm less worried about that now. Perhaps that's one for the summer, because Ben Hamer, I think, has shown himself to be effective competition for Backman and has cemented the place in his team as a starting goalkeeper.
Yeah, got a clean sheet this week, of course, away, and only beaten by a proper Todd Binzer.
It was the only moment of quality in the game. Got beaten, nothing he could do about it, not his fault. Maybe look at the defence for missed tackles, but other than that, it was a good finish. And they were sort of the areas we were looking. Perhaps... the most important thing in the transfer window is actually hanging on to Matty Pollock, because he looked decent last week when he played. He looked decent early on. There are a couple of ropey moments in the second half, I thought, when Cardiff came out and started much the better, and there were a couple of wobbly moments, I thought, from him. perhaps he was one of the two defenders, I think, along with Lewis, that perhaps could have done better for stopping Bowler and getting into a shooting position for the goal. But generally, I've liked what I've seen in that sort of those sort of couple of games here that he's played. And I don't know, obviously the clean sheet would have been a big part of that at Hillsborough on Wednesday as well. So you've got to give him some credit there. So perhaps it will be important keeping him and not just sort of chucking him out with the bathwater. Let's see how that works out.
What you're saying there, Jace, it feels a little bit more like we've got a lot of, you know, of course, preferences to filling certain places. But everything you've sort of said there isn't necessarily true. It's could be's and might be's, and it's not the best, of course.
One of the things he said we might be is filling in if we're down a striker. And I'm really sorry, I think we're filling in
down a striker already.
Filling in anyway.
As it is, because we've talked at length about how that final third is a mess. And there isn't a focal point up there. There isn't anyone that the players can believe in. It's not an attacking line in the truest sense of the word, is it? We know who the striker nominally is, but there isn't someone there who defences are going to be. And if they weren't looking for an extra, I'm certain that Gino will have thought Dennis is enough. He'd bring him back and he'll score goals like he did in the Premier League. That will have been his thinking. It may come to pass that he is, and he gets up to fitness, and he is too much for Championship defences. Not much evidence of that on the face of his cameos so far. Increasing in time, and obviously give him his dues, give him his a fair crack of the whip. But in term, we needed a striker. We needed a striker. I know that they're impossible to find, or at least hard to find. You know, Ipswich got Kiefer Moore. They got Al-Mohammadi from Wimbledon. That's where the good strikers are going to go. Ipswich are chasing the Premier League. We're demonstrably not. So we're looking in the Scandinavian leagues like for Rajovic and stuff like that. It's very, very hard to find one. But we've now got to play the rest of the season with what we've got. And in that final third, have we got enough?
No.
Yeah, I think that the answer is a pretty blunt and a pretty bleak no. And if, like Jay says, if one of them gets sent off, one of them gets injured, you're down to one. And yeah, I think that is where we're at. And yep. I think that we need to like it or lump it. It speaks volumes that the squad is what the squad is.
My guess is that you will lump it. And you're never going to like it.
One thing for sure, with Rajovic up front, we can't be lumping it. That's not going to work, is it?
Yeah, no.
We're the Orns, you're the Orns. Come on, you Orns!
There's a new Golden Pages fanzine out at the game. Hope you picked up one. If you don't, pick up another one from Tom next time you're at the game. We'll find or just search the Golden Pages and grab yourself a copy. But there was also a brand new series starting this week of Hornet Heaven, series 23. And there's going to be a new episode every Friday during February. Episode 1 is based around a very unique game Watford played in 1952 in the FA Cup against Walthamstow Avenue. This clip sort of starts to explain why it was so unique.
As soon as he passes through the ancient turnstile, Morris feels the chill of Saturday the 6th of December 1952 at Green Pond Road in Walthamstow. He pulls up the collar on his jacket. Then, on the other side of the turnstile, he halts. He can't see anything. He's in a half light, but there's an odd tinge to it, a kind of yellowish grey. He steps onto the open terrace beyond. The place feels ghostly. He wonders if the turnstile has transported him to some other spectral realm. Then, ahead of him, as he moves cautiously forwards, he starts to see the murky outlines of people wearing coats and hats. And he understands. It's the weather at the game. He's in a thick fog. It has draped itself over the crowd. It's cloaking the playing area and shrouding the stands. It's what Londoners used to call a pea super. Morris remembers now. Fog was a real problem in London after the Second World War. The 6th of December 1952 brought the worst of it. A high-pressure anticyclone trapped cold air at ground level, and the emissions from London's factories and domestic coal fires couldn't escape. The result was a thick, acrid smog. And amazingly, Walthamstow Avenue and Watford try to play football in it.
Well, you know, we move on as Watford fans. We don't dwell too much. But this week, we've talked about it a little bit. And we're going to try and do some new, different things. Not necessarily just more podcasts and just throwing stuff at you just so you listen. We're trying to give you something a little bit different. And one of those things we're trying to do is with a very good friend of ours and Watford fan, Mr. Matt Furness. If anyone doesn't know who is Matt?
Matt is of Opta fame. I'm not sure if the Opta Joe account still exists, but I'm not sure whether we're able to blow anonymity when it comes to that, but probably done that already. But yeah, Matt is a stats guru at Watford, at Opta, and a big Watford fan, so we thought it was high time we got him on to add a little bit of analytical background to some of our sort of musings and try and put a bit of the data-based meat on the bones that that we riffle and waffle on about over the years. So it'd be great to have Matt on and do that on a regular basis. First one coming up very soon.
Yeah, this week we've got it the week, and it'll be out probably out Thursday morning for you. But yes, so can we all have these vibes, great vibes or bad vibes as football fans. Hey, maybe the data can help us solidify those a bit. You got a favourite stat, Jace, like one you always look out for, apart from the score, of course?
I don't know. My favourite stat this week was the fact that the it's got absolutely nothing to do with Watford.
Okay.
Was the fact that the quarterfinal lineup of AFCON are eight completely different teams to the eight that were in the quarterfinals last time. Yeah. That's an amazing stat.
Yeah.
Forget Watford. Yeah, I've had enough of Watford today. Now.
Yeah, William Troostekong's into the semi-finals at least with the Nigeria halfback. You got a favourite stat, Mike?
No. No, I haven't really got a favourite stat. I'll think of one, but nothing comes to mind. That's why we've got Matt on.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's nice to sort of not just talking sort of numbers, but whether we can back up certain ideas and theories and why things might be happening, and try and sort of look at it with a little bit of an analytical and statistical sort of support, as opposed to just the eye test and what us three have seen and there in a. On the pitch of the afternoon. So yeah, I think it should be really, really fascinating. I'm looking forward to hearing Matt. I'm sure can help us understand certainly why some of the things happen, and whether some of the things that we think are happening and are reflected in the numbers and the data. So yeah, going to be really interesting. But we've hit a rocky patch, haven't we? And I think we probably knew it was coming post Bristol City. Really, that drubbing here, we've struggled to hit our straps. We obviously beat Chesterfield, that came late, and they're non-league. The win against QPR was hard for, and I think we did deserve it, but we made really hard work of that as well, to be honest. QPR struggling. So we've hit a bit of a bump in the road. What we've said all along is that this is a team that is willing to dig in and play for them, play for each other, play for the club, play for the manager, etc. And I think there's no signs of that dissipating. You can't lack the effort, certainly. They just need to be smarter. They need to utilise what talent they have much better. They just need to play much smarter. It's going to be fascinating to see what Valerian Ismail does this week with this cup tie at Southampton, because previously we said, well, we don't want you to drop players and to break up the momentum. We carry on and let's not lose. And it feels like that's less of a worry now, because we've lost here. The run of form is pretty poor.
Nothing to hold on to.
No, exactly. And the players look like, ultimately, if you've got an opportunity to give them a rest, that's what we've got to do. And I don't just think it's a physical thing. I think it's a mental reset as well. I think there's this final third thing is, it really is our Achilles heel. Never mind the sort of clean sheets. We're not shipping loads and loads of goals. Obviously, we've got Leicester coming next week, so remind me of that quote then. But we're not shipping stacks. I think from a defensive point of view, we're relatively settled. Jay spoke about Hamer. He's looking good. Nothing you could do about the goal today. Pollock got done a couple of times today, but that's going to happen. He's effectively. This is his first couple of games in the Championship at this level for him, so it's going to happen. But he looks nice and solid alongside Hurt. And for me, they are the starting two centre-backs now, without any question. He's calmer, he's just more sensible, quite frankly.
That was my key word, calm and sensible. It's sensible, much in capital letters.
Porteous came on some Wednesday night. First thing he did, charged up the field, ends up sort of like all bent out of shape on halfway, and he's tracking back. He's great fun, but give me Pollock over him, I'm afraid. At the moment, I think, what's his name? Ryan Andrews, he's struggling a little bit. The ball's not quite running for him, I think, at the moment. It's sort of, he's perhaps not trying to force it, but it's not quite happening for him. Jamal Lewis on the other side is, again, sort of like we said last week, are we getting the best out of him? But defensively, I think they're fine. I think if there's a championship defensive unit, that's something that we can kind of relax about to a degree. We've fiddled around with the midfield a little bit. Chakvetadze was on the left on Wednesday night and I thought was hugely ineffective. Back in the middle today and is better. I like the way he sort of can slalom forward. Perhaps a little bit lightweight in midfield. I thought Delibashiru did well when he came on for Jake Livermore today, who again we're having to protect. We've got Edo Kayembe to come back.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a spine coming back with Sema we spoke about earlier. He's dependable, he's good, he offers a threat. So with Kayembe coming back, I think midfield is solid as it can be. We've got to click in the final third, and whether it's confidence, if we give someone a good pasting, then maybe we get a little bit of confidence. The strikers, we've given them absolute torrid time on this podcast. Rajovic has scored goals, Bayo has chipped in with a couple. There's no reason they can't do the job, but they ain't doing it at the moment, and those around them aren't either. The final ball in the final third is woeful. And I think that really is, that final third is our Achilles heel. They've got to work on that. They've got to get it right and we can get back on the right track. But it's not going to be easy. Right. I think this game this afternoon against Cardiff, is we're going to see a lot of these. We're going away to Rotherham in a couple of weeks. It's going to be decided by a bit of quality. We should have had more quality today. I dare say that on the pitch we had better players than Cardiff did. Yet they've come away with the 3 points. We've got to make sure that doesn't happen too many times for the rest of the season.
For a moment there, I thought you were trying to talk yourself into positivity there. And you pull yourself back a little bit. And you go, well, it's still not quite right. Oh, I see what you're trying to do there, Michael. Thank you very much, Michael.
No problem.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
And happy birthday, Jason.
Thank you.
Yeah, we don't say which number, will we, Michael? No. We will not. We're back with more podcasts. Well, podcasts on Thursday, where we'll do the first edition of the... We haven't got a name for it yet, the From the Rookery End Statistics, but it's not just going to be about statistics. So have a listen and see if you can come up with a nice title for it. We'll be back with more podcasts on From the Rookery End very soon. Cardio!